different from these homes. It all starts with our foundations, the things that drive us and make our hearts beat a little faster. The things we believe in and cherish, our families, our dearest friends, our faith, those are our bedrock. And if they're sturdy, square and plumb, as my mama says, we can weather any storm. They're built to last. We are built to last. We build on a foundation, and soon it begins to look like more than just a slab. It's the bones of the life we always wanted, the dream. The houses we rehabilitate begin as victims of time and circumstance. Weeds and water damage, bad renovations patched together with particle board, true craftsmanship buried under trends and fads that have vanished into the air like the thin ideas they once were. We take down walls or rip up floors to discover the beauty buried underneath, understanding that a house's true self, its identity, and its history doesn't need to be hidden. With love and an understanding of what it needs, it can become beautiful again. We are all old houses, altered by time and circumstances. Our lives are shaped by the good and the bad, and we take it all in and make it a part of us. As it turns out, the things we thought were true, that we thought had branded us for life, weren't so permanent. They were rough drafts, versions of ourselves that were critical to who we are today and are still buried underneath. And the setbacks weren't setbacks at all. They were catalysts. We are always launching ourselves anew. We've been built up on the cornerstone of family and determination and faith and deep, abiding love. And because of that, we are capable and worthy of repurpose, of restoration. Nothing is lost, and we can all be made good again. I sit at the old oak teacher's desk in our office, as I have done every day for the past 8 years, to write the day's entry. This is my ritual, and it is required work. Ben never loses sight of the good in front of us. He believes that everything that has happened is for a worthwhile purpose. His is a natural kind of optimism, whereas mine has required conditioned effort. It's not my natural state, never has been. Years ago, I made a promise to myself, a pledge to seek out the positive, to take the messiness of life and pull out the thing that made me smile. It took the form of an online journal that I kept every day for 8 straight years, which I called Make Something Good Today. I vowed to consciously document the best thing that happened every day of my sometimes ho-hum, sometimes magical life. And most days were spent combating my natural disposition to worry and anxiety, but in between burned bright moments that I refused to let slip through the cracks. The journal was designed as an exercise in the power of selective memory. Writing was a performative act. I wasn't just passively recording what happened, but also actively choosing what had happened, what would be imprinted, what was worthy of permanence, and what could be discarded. It could be something as simple as the way tree branches looked in the light, or a piece of strawberry pie, or something larger, such as finishing a house or an elaborate surprise Ben had planned to cheer me up. On bad days, I'd consciously try to search out the positive or make good things happen so I wouldn't be empty-handed at night when it came time to write. In this way, the practice has changed my life. In the days since it started, people I've loved have died. Ben and I have argued and hurt each other. Business has been bad. I've felt uninspired. I've worried about things out of my control. But I have to make the conscious decision to forget those things, to swim in the messiness of life. I've chosen to be kind to people who aren't kind to me, to proactively do, find, and be whatever it is that gives me joy rather than just wish for it. I make a space where the beautiful moments will live undisturbed. Later, after time has smoothed over the bumps, it'll seem as though those moments filled all of it, leaving no room for the sad memories. It is an exercise in focusing on what matters and the time I have to spend on this earth and this body. The hope is that one day this perspective will become so automatic and natural that I'll no longer have to write it down. But when that day comes, I'll have these words and stories and pictures of when Ben and I were young and in love and figuring out how to become who we are, when he and I were just 2 and not 3 or 4. And I'll be glad that I tracked those gifts along the way, created my own little corner of immortality. When you document every single day of your life, you're forced to notice the pattern of blessings. In the aftermath of despair, you find the gift of perspective. At a time in my life when nothing was certain, I required a mountain of evidence to truly believe my glass was half full. If I had never started the journal, I would have missed so much.